Blog Talk Radio.
Never violate the codes of the streets, and I would never make a promise that I know I couldn't keep, and I would never testify, cop out for a plea, or surrender information on my boys to the police, and you could never catch me on the block without a strap, and I would never pull it out unless I'm out to black, and I could never forget my homies dying for their scratch, but ever pouring out liquor for them, God to the back, and I would.
Appreciate you coming out to fuck with him. In the building. I see y'all out there, man. I just want y'all to know one motherfucking thing. I would never, ever violate the codes in the streets, and I would never make a promise that I know I couldn't keep it out.
Hands up, eyes open, the fist clear. Face and get some of this shit. This should be the chairman checking in. Now, when I say cold of the sea, we talking about the path of clubs. Not trying to party clubs, that is. I would never violate the cold of the sea. Would never speak nor serve the interests of our enemies. And if I say that I'm with you, we'll come get you. You best believe that like bad luggage, we'll never leave. Now, of course, I can never say that I'm never gonna go broke. Because sad to say that we ain't never had this shit roll. Well, I can never say how it's gonna go. One thing for sure, two things for certain. They know to shut up motherfuckers like us. They gonna have to kill us, close up in the casket. Read a quick verse and close the motherfucking curtains.
Never be sad, I would, I like a hoe. Never been drunk, I'll never let it slide. Never let it go. Never ever, never ever ever. No, get on my level, hoe. Or go get a shovel, hoe. It's never in question for my manhood, I get down. I'll never switch, never stick, never sit down. I never hesitate to squeeze a nigga six rounds. I'll never squat to take a piss, who's the bitch now?
I would never put profit over politics, principle, nor our people. I would never sell my soul. Never put bullshit over business and never place good upon the evil. You see, why I'm determined to die before being dishonored. Committed to being captured and killed before being capitulated. And that would be perfect and pushing this shit to the motherfucking limit. And if need be, pull the motherfucking trigger with a pistol without no hesitation. I will pass the cover to my last breath, to my last goddamn roar. And we'll never forget what them pigs did at 4:35 a.m. in 1969 Chicago on December the 4th. Never, never, never.
I never ran, I never will, I ain't never scared. It's in my bloodline, the realest nigga ever bred. And that's some of the realest shit that I done ever said. And I can die, but through my lyrics, I ain't never dead. I never disrespect my mama, never disrespect her mama neither. I never turn my back on Jesus. I never get caught off in the system, I believe her. Man that follows man, ain't a man, and I'm a leader.
I will never cross my comrades and never forsake our fight for freedom. And if you listen to my second verse, let me say it again just in case y'all want to listen. I will never put profit over politics, press with nor our people. I will never disrespect the legacy of Minister UEP. Never betray the Black Panther Party. And never bow down and lay down the legacy at the feet of our enemies. Never, never, never. I am a Panther cub by birth and by battle. This is my bloodline and my prison time. And when it be, by wherever enemy, if they try to hijack this legacy, wherever it be, not on our watch, for we'll never, never, never have it. Never, 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 never.
Never gon' turn cold, my nigga, I can never trade. I never cross my homies out, that ain't how I'm made. And I never had not one regret on how I was raised. I'm from the ghetto, where I slung and rapped it every day. Never do no other way, this ain't gon' never change. Never gon' bite my tongue, fuck what a nigga say. 100 with myself, I swore to God I'd stay the same. And when I finally got my paper, I was on my game. Never talk a nigga down, do your thing, dawg. Never hate a dude for trying, that's the same, dawg. Get your motherfucking money, that's the thing, dawg. Too many homies die young, feel my pain, y'all.
October 23rd, 24th, 2016. All roads lead to Oakland, California. Lonely legacy of Black Panther Party. Protected, respected, and never, never neglected. Never, never.
Rage.
cause your style's baloney, but that rock's no filler. Ain't a girl in Sierra putting rappers on ice and lock your bodies in the chiller. The way you bust it up, I'll chuck nasty style like throw up, blow up, then go nuts like a lady ninja killer. I feel you deep beneath the surface. It's the rage from Page, I heat it up like a furnace. My steel got smoke, check the gamma ray from the She-Hulk. Stomping through your territory, new rap female category winner. And your style gets played out like the spinners. Not a soprano, an alto, the rage is a tenor. My voice is just right, I bust hypodermic to get in the mind's eye, making you hip-hop junkies wanna fly like eagles. My style sharp as cathedral steeples, showing and proving even a lady can be beagle. So breaker, you best keep on trucking, and roll on with that chicken shit that's plucking. You're stuckin', stupid, you doofus. I'm rhyming so hard, I'm knocking out your toothin', a teeth it. Believe this shit, butthead just get played out like beavers. Receive it, it's yours, lyrical murderer, I'm still rocking on.
Rock on, rock on, the lady you raise, lyrical murderer, the baddest lyricist.
Now I'm an explosive vocalist, make you readjust your focus. No hocus pocus, no bogus, I'm the dopest. Lyric diva locus, what? It's so copacetic. I see through your synthetics with my telekinetics. I mean my telepathics from this mouth of madness. Rose, one of the baddest in existence. My existence is prevalent, hesitant not, you'll get dropped. I'm rhyming so hard, I see you knocking outside. Cause I slam like collision, so your vision to me. If you can't touch it, not even a smidgen to me. Your pigeon shit to me, so drop it, drop it.
Damn.
Here,
hit this shit,
I take a puff and I blow up like Moby. Running lyrics quicker than Toby. What's my name? Yeah, you know me. Rage, lyrical murderer. What's my name? Yeah, you rage, lyrical murderer. Yeah, you know me. So if you wanna see me, turn on your headlights. I make you run red lights, trying to catch it. Slam into the radio and the wreckage. Towed away, blowed away. Cut down, mowed away. Curled up like Ola Ray. So let me straighten it out, cause I'm a thriller. Motherfucking MC Cold Killer. When I cock back, better drop that, yo, hop back, I rock that the dawn, yes, I still rock on.
Grandma, we're live.
I'm
not hearing Chairman.
Imagine if you could go back. Actually talk to the motherfucker. First motherfucker that came in the sledge.
Excuse me.
No.
Back for everything you owe, no longer oppressed. Cause now we overthrow those that placed us in this rotten mess. Let the real strategy and pick our enemies right. Who stands accused of being abused, my own kind of right. Not disregarding what you're thinking, but you must abandon ship. Cause once I rip your whole shit is sinking. Supreme ideology you claim to hold. Claiming that we all drug dealers with empty souls. That used to set me to roll, commit to violence in the midst of the act of war. Witnesses left silent, shattered. Black talent style thoughts I throw. It remains in your brain, then of course it grows. Baby, even your babies can produce and rise. Picture a life where black babies can survive past five. But we must have hope. Quoting the reverend from the pulpit, refuse to turn the other cheek. We must defeat the evil culprit. Lace me with words of destruction and I'll explode. But supply me with the will to survive and watch the world grow. This ain't about talking about problems, I bring solution with the restitution stipulated through the Constitution. You violated, now I'm back to haunt your night. Listen to the scream of the lives you sacrificed. And in case you don't know, ghetto born black seeds still grow. We coming back for everything you owe.
How do you plead, Mr. Shakur? How do you plead?
How do I plead?
Yes, sir. How do you plead?
You know how I plead.
Come on! Not guilty on the grounds of insanity, it was them and me. Busting at my innocent family, say they looking for keys. I was home alone, blind to the prelude. Busting, talking about where is the Quaaludes. What you say, fool? Where in the hell is the search warrant? No feedback is what he uttered. Before he screamed, nigga, motherfucker, drop me to my knees. I proceed to bleed, suffering the rain of blows to my hands and knees. Will I survive as God watching? I grab his hat and bust himself to fix my only option. God damn. Now they got me going to the county jail. And my family can't pay this outrageous bail. Try to offer me a deal. They told me if I swear, move me and my people to a mansion in Brazil, not me. So this is how it ends, no friends. I'll be stressed and they just repossess my bed. Told a judge it was self-defense, he won't listen. So I'm bumping into federal prison, giving everything I owe.
February 27, 2023. We usually come on Wednesday. However, you
better not try this laptop. I'm going to try something. I see something. Let me see. I see a tactic I can pull in 1 minute. Okay, let me say this. We're going to go to, let me say this quickly before I get into concern. One second. Shout out Intellectual Radio. Things always work out. Okay, y'all. Heads up, eyes open, and fist clenched, y'all. The spirit of making history, taking history, and taping history. This is not your weekly episode. Again, this is not your weekly episode. This is, again, a special edition. Election Day Eve. Election Day Eve. Elections are set to be Tuesday, tomorrow. So this is starting less than 24 hours. Right now, I go. I want to preface with the fact that I recognize that many of my constituents in particular can be dismissive of in regards to the electoral political process. In other words, take a position like, man, we really ain't got, you know, that time to even just say 26 and a half a dozen. I recall even with the Hillary Clinton and Trump campaign, I say, with choices like these, who needs enemies? Again, with choices like these, who needs enemies? However, there was a climate where Annie's being upped, the stakes are always high. Stakes are always high. And there's some different entities, different genres that are being also brought up for election too, the police control board, so on and so forth. And we're going to talk about that. But we say, you know, one of the sayings of the Black Panther Party, one of the axioms of the Black Panther Party was that information is raw material for new ideas. So at minimum, let's come in objective, you know what I'm saying, make some informed decisions and take some principled stances, and not let our community be devalued to trivial tactics like, we've seen with Hillary Clinton and others, they would, you know, put a bottle of hot sauce out their bag on a talk show or, you know, just related to I know Instagram, I got to start you right back over. I know, because the volume is shooting. I lost my volume for sure. I'm sure. Okay, let me know if you can't hear me. And let me get straight to it, because I don't know what time we got callers coming in. We expect some guests to come in with us. We'll get straight to it. Tomorrow, again, is election. Let me know if y'all can hear me on Instagram. If not, I'll start it back over. We're gonna roll right in. Call in number being 929-477-3785. Again, call in number being 929-477-3785. And you will press 1 to be heard. 92, no sound. I knew it. Okay. Struggle again, learn how to put a block on phone calls even coming in on this time. Well, I can't get upset today. It's Monday. People don't know I used to be on Monday. So we let people come on in with us. Again, 929-477-3. Your thoughts, who you think the candidates that you want to roll with, your concerns, who you say we cannot definitely afford to. I'm going to hold up to the end of the conclusion to show the political people who I say definitely a no-go, and I even want to go through the process. I don't want to come in giving out, you know, my opposition, because I don't want to impact. I really want to learn from the people, you know, so we'll see the people at. There are a couple of candidates and a couple of automatic wards, and, you know what I'm saying, in particular, one candidate in the automatic ward, I want to point out definitely no-go, you know what I'm saying, I'll hold it to the conclusion of the show. But with that being said, again, y'all, call in with this special episode of Free My Radio. So take a breather, take a pause for the calls, Catch your breath. Let's get ready to rumble. Let's get ready to continue to make history, take history, tape history. We just came up the heels of a phenomenal event this past. We owe a shout out to Villawood, Mayor Booker, to the families of Breonna Taylor, George Floyd, Emmett Till, Chairman Fred Hampton. We had a panel. We had a powerful, painful panel of the family members of those above what I just mentioned. And it was right at Proviso East High School, the high school that Chairman Fred attended. Phenomenal, powerful, painful panel. You know what I'm saying? Again, so just, you know, shout out to all, you know, Bianca Cortez Rice, Jacob Blake, excuse me, the Jacob Blake family, Ms. Ollie Gordon and Mateo family, Foxy, George Floyd family, and definitely a mother comrade of court history with Chairman Fred Hampton. They showed up and they showed out, you know what I'm saying? So I just want to give a clinch for salute. And, you know, and again, living in testimonies of talking about the ongoing impact of these atrocities, you know what I'm saying, that, you know, hit our people, our community, and humanity in general. We live in the rank, y'all. Let's get straight to it. Any callers in queue thus far already, Sister Comrade?
Very much, Chairman. No callers in queue. Callers in queue, press 1 to speak.
Right on. Okay, again, 929-477-3785. Y'all call in. I get a roll call last week, you know what I'm saying, about the who's running for mayor. We get a whole roll call. And, you know what I'm saying? So we expect something to be in here studio tonight. I'll probably go late tonight about 12 midnight or 1 and put up, you know like, you know, where I'm going with it. You know, it's where we going with it. But I want to hold them for as long as I can. For people themselves, you know, saying to come call in, and you know, so that their criticism, their critiques, their support, or maybe they lack of involvement. Maybe they some people may position that they like getting involved in the period. We'd like to hear your thoughts on that. Why? What you think? You know, what can motivate you? How do you see electoral political process? You know, how you know, what are your hot topics? What issues? You know, saying with issues that you know that you see that need to be impacted, addressed in regards. Your respective community. So again, y'all feel free to call in. What is it, 929-477-3785, and press 1 to be heard. Free my radio.
Grandma, we have a caller on the line. Grandma.
Okay, welcome, caller in queue. Welcome, caller.
Hello,
welcome to Free Mall Radio. How you doing? Who do we have on with us?
Hey, Brother Fred, this is State Rep Cam Buckner, man. How you doing?
I'm keeping my head up on this scene. How about you?
I'm fantastic, brother. I can't complain.
Right on. Well, this is a program that, you know, we have actually every Wednesday radio. I don't know how much they brought you to speed about it. It's a weekly program we do, hosted by myself and Lady Rage, the Black Panther Party Cubs, Freedom All Radio, here radio, Intellectual Radio Studio, right there. Okay, thank you. We touch on different topics and subjects, you know, saying throughout the world. We know this is a hot time in Chicago in particular. Being to do on the eve of the election, a lot of, you know, so this is many cases, a lot of issues, code red. If you can, take into account, we have people listening internationally. We're hitting all the social media spots. Give us a little background, who you are, your resume. What respective office you're running for, and again, don't take for granted that, you know, people are familiar, you know, saying, and let us know what happened. What's some hot topics or key issues, you know, saying, that you're pushing from, and what makes you unique in regards to other candidates?
Yeah, well, absolutely. I appreciate this platform. I appreciate you all occupying this space. I think it's extremely important. For those of you who I haven't had a chance to meet, my name is Cam Buckner, and I am currently a state representative in the Illinois House of Representatives. I represent a district that is completely situated in the city of Chicago, and it runs from the South Chicago community near the Indiana border, up along the lakefront, places like Washington Park and Woodlawn, Greater Grand Crossing, Hyde Park, Kenwood, Bronzeville, and all the way up to the Gold Coast. I spent the last 2 years as the chair of the Illinois House Legislative Black Caucus, passing monumental legislation to really bring black communities to the forefront, and I'm really proud of that work. And so since May of last year, I've been a candidate for mayor of Chicago, running in this race to be able to bring some true peace, some true justice, and some true freedom to Chicago and Chicagoans, but specifically to communities that have been left behind for generations. And so here we are on the eve of the election, and we are continuing to try to get the message out on what we stand for, on the results that I've been able to accomplish in Springfield, and how I plan to bring that same pragmatic, solution-driven work to City Hall in Chicago. You know, when I look at our platform and what makes us different, we have put out some very clear and concrete plans for the people of Chicago on how we move us forward, creating true public safety. And public safety is not a law enforcement apparatus. Public safety is about our schools. It's about housing. It's about our mental health resources. It's about environmental justice. So bringing true justice to the people of Chicago and communities that have, you know, years and years, 150-plus years after the Emancipation Proclamation, folks in communities who are still negotiating their freedom. And we really got to turn the tide in this city. And so I'm trying to bring that type of leadership to the forefront.
I know a few things you mentioned. I know, again, listeners, y'all feel free, listeners as well as viewers, feel free to tap in. Any questions you have, again, we have State Representative Kent Bugner, who's running for upcoming mayor. Again, election is tomorrow, less than 24 hours away. Again, less than 24 hours away. Let me preface with this. What's the feel in regards to voter turnout? I'm not even up to date with the numbers of early voting, so on and so forth. What's the feel thus far in regards to voter turnout, and what are some of the major concerns you see in regards to Chicago in general? But I don't want to say it's subjective, but the black community in particular. What are some of the hot issues?
Yeah, so voter turnout in many of the traditionally more conservative, whiter wards are happen to be up right now. They're up above the 2019 and 2015 numbers, right? So many people think that that's going to bode well for the one white candidate in the race, Paul Vallis. But, you know, I think it's incumbent upon folks in our community to make sure that we get out tomorrow and to change the paradigm and make sure that we're actually voting on the south side of Chicago, on the west side of Chicago, up in Rogers Park, where a lot of folks like us live, and to actually, make sure that we're seen in this election. The last mayoral election had about a 34% turnout. We got to do better than that. That means that, you know, nearly 70% of Chicagoans are not voicing their opinion when it comes to who's going to lead this city. And if we're really going to be a true city that puts equity and freedom at the forefront, then we've got to be able to make sure that everybody's voice is heard. And so we're pushing for that. And really, you know, honestly, Fred, the things that are at the forefront of this conversation from a policy standpoint, from a leadership standpoint, are things that our communities have been fighting for a long time, but we have not gotten, right? When we talk about, you know, true self-determination for places like North Lawndale and Austin and Roseland and Inglewood, we talk about, you know, you can even go back just to the Panthers 10-point plan, brother, and it tells you the things that we need in our community. And we have not gotten it. When we talk about freedom and full employment and decent housing and education and health care and an end to police brutality, land, bread, housing, education, clothing, and justice, these are the things that we have talked about in this campaign and the things that we're going to fight for in the mayor's office.
What is unique about in regards to your position, how you plan to grapple with, the usual suspect, the usual subject matters, you know, crime, economic development, the gentrification, which was in my fact, but just one of those usual subject matters that people hear about, you know, tossed around, and sometimes becomes, you know, I guess cliches, what have you. But what stands out? Your ideas, your programs to deal with these different issues.
Yeah, so we put forth some very clear platforms on everything from public safety to education to the environment, environmental justice, to our elderly folks and Chicagoans with disabilities. We've done a really great job of creating a true justice platform, everything from transportation to veteran affairs. We've covered all of those things in our platform, and people can go to our website, CAM with a K, K-A-M, CAMformayor.com, to see that work. But I think what really makes us different is not just that we have a plan, but I have a track record of actually getting things done. When it comes to the work that we've been able to do in Springfield, creating the most sweeping criminal justice reform in the history of this country, I led that fight in Springfield for our brothers and sisters. When it comes to the fight against the NRA, I led that fight in Springfield, and we've been successful. When it comes to fighting against financial institutions that were doing predatory lending in our communities, you know, these payday loans that have interest rates of up to 300% for the people in our community who can least afford that, I was the person who helped to lead the fight to cap those interest rates at 36%, right? And so for me, this is really about the proof. The proof is there, and the receipts are there because I've been able to do it. But more than anything, I'm from Chicago. I was born and raised in this city. I'm raising my son on the south side of Chicago, on the low end, in Bronzeville. When I become mayor, I will be the first mayor of Chicago to be a Chicago Public School graduate since Harold Washington. You know, there is something special about growing in the garden in which you were planted. And I am Chicago through and through. And that's been very clear in my roles in public service and the things that I've done for the people of Chicago. And I want to continue that as the next mayor.
Thank you very much. I use the term, some the usual subjects or usual to address. Regardless of like what I know I'm not saying this not with any slight. I know a lot of times, you know, it's the usual entities or organizations out there, you know, the churches, so on and so forth, to touch down with. What has been your, like people like more like grassroots organizations? I mean, has there been any contact and communication with these different venues, or, you know, the common everyday man or woman in the community? Like, can you tell me, touch down any unique concerns that they may have relayed that they have?
Yeah, listen, and unlike anyone else in this race, we have run a true grassroots campaign. And when you look at the financial contributions, we've got more grassroots contributions than anyone else in this race, small dollar. We're not backed by any big institutions. We're not self-funded like many folks in this race have been able to do, and we don't have the money of big corporate interests. And so we don't owe anything to anybody except for the people of Chicago. And what we've gotten from the people of Chicago as we've been on this journey is that they want a mayor who is both fearless and compassionate. They want somebody who's going to be able to tackle the public safety issue in a real way and not just say that we're going to flood the streets with more cops, because at some point more cops just becomes more cops. It doesn't become better, right? And so people who are willing to look at things differently, they want somebody who's going to say, what are we going to do about the long-term and the long-term effects of crime in our city? How are we going to talk with our young people? Chicagoans want a mayor who can, one, talk to corporate business interests, two, be able to pass legislation, three, talk to victims and families of victims and comfort them, but four, also talk to people who may be involved in the life, right? I'm somebody who has a connection with our streets, right? And so whether we're talking about street organizations or cliques or young men who really need another opportunity to do something different, I am your guy. I'm able to make that happen on day one, unlike anyone else in this race.
You know, like every other entity, you know, whether we talking about the NBA, the music arena, even the electoral political arena, is not as, you know, I guess as used to be. Like, you know, who was a particular alderman for years, who was the mayor. We with the NBA analogy, like who played for which team, so on and so forth. The turnover rate is, you know, is just like everything else is, you know, is continuously turning over. And I know Chicago was known for theoretically having a set up like, how do you say it, a strong automatic, the older men and women, they had more power, but actually it's like, you know, like the daily machine, the mayor actually, you know, pulled the strings. And people had these different offices, and a lot of times people say, well, what is a particular, they're not really clear on a particular duties or responsibility, or, you know, where the power lies at with the mayor. Like somebody said, well, the president can't do that. You know, so that's what the sheriff can do that. That's not the sheriff's. What in particular, like, I know you can't give us the whole gamut, but what is something that people may not be familiar with that the mayor is, you know, is in control of? You know, like, people may say, okay, well, why is it the portion amount of the public transportation? You know what I'm saying? The buses and trains go one way. You know what I'm saying? When they're coming to the inner city, they don't come this way. But what in particular that people may not be familiar with that the mayor can, you know what I'm saying, can has some say-so, really, you know what I'm saying, about?
Yeah, so, I mean, you brought up CPA. CPA is a perfect example of a sister agency of the city where the mayor has pretty much complete control. The mayor picks the chairman of the board. The mayor picks most members of the board. The mayor also gets to pick who the president of the CPA is. Right, and so when we talk about leadership in CTA and the way it works and why it works differently downtown than it may on the south side and the west side of Chicago, there's a function that falls completely and squarely in the lane of the mayor. The mayor of Chicago has the ability to control the system here, unlike in most places. That's not the case in New York and Los Angeles and other places, that there's a more stratified kind of leadership system there. But also, I mean, you make a really good point. When it comes to the mayor's interplay with the city council and how things have changed over time, whether it's a strong mayor or a strong council form of government, Chicago is the only city in the country, only large city in the country, that does not have a city charter. A city charter is like a constitution, right? And so we have operated for all of these years without a city charter, which has put us in a really bad spot because the mayor has been able to kind of decide what she or he wants to do when they get in office. And so one thing that I've called for that no one else in this campaign has stepped forward and did the work on is that we need a city charter. We need a city charter so we can have some real rules on how the city is governed, on what the mayor's actual role is, so the city council could operate like a true independent check and balance legislative body, and so we can avoid some of the mistakes of the past. I think, there are experts who tell you if we had a city charter that the Megs Field debacle would never have happened, 25, 30 years ago, that the parking meter deal would never have happened, that the NASCAR deal could not have happened under a true city charter that plots out what the mayor can and can't do. And so I've embraced that. I've embraced actually moving that forward so we can create a more streamlined sense of government in this city that works for the people.
A question I want to put forward to that. I want to put this universally to all those running, with the exception of, I guess, the present mayor. And also in those comments that you had to give, feel free to. Earlier generally, but in particular with the incumbent Mayor Lightfoot, what would be different? What would be something glaringly different? Do you think that the people, the Chicago populace can recognize? Well, this is something different here. Whether it be police accountability, whether it be transportation, whether it be educational. What do you think something, if it's more than one thing, you want to give us a few things, it's on you. But what would be something that the people would say, wow, this is different?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing would be accountability for all of our systems, true justice. I use the word justice a lot when I talk about the work that we're doing, but, I mean, I use it when it comes to food justice, right? Getting rid of food apartheid in our communities. I use it when it comes to the environmental justice, because the truth of the matter is that black kids in Chicago breathe dirtier air than everybody else, right? When it comes to lead pipes and lead service lines that are poisoning our young people, I talk about justice and accountability when it comes to that. I talk about making sure that we have housing justice. Chicago, under Buckner administration, would be the most affordable housing city, housing-friendly city in the entire country. I think we can truly do that. I talk about rebuilding our thoroughfares, right? So 79th Street, 95th Street, 71st Street, 35th Street, 47th Street, Austin and Madison, and the streets that those of us who grew up in and around this city remember being bustling with black business. Under my administration, we'll actually do the work to bring those corridors back. I have a plan called the Main Street Chicago Plan, which will do that. But with me, Chicago will have one of its own. You'll have a native son who understands Chicago, who doesn't need anybody to give them a guided tour of the city to explain to them the discrepancies that exist, and specifically about police accountability. I am a mayor. I will be a mayor who will end the practice of qualified immunity in this city. We cannot continue to let our police officers who decide to step outside of the bounds of their training and the Constitution get away with those things, right? And we've talked about this for years and years, but we've not done it. And so whether it's the unfortunate happenings that are way too close to you, brother, of December 4th, 1969 at 2337 West Monroe, or whether it's what happened to Laquan McDonald, we have to turn the tide in the city, and that will stop with me.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Okay, I'm just taking my notes down. I want to leave. I also want to thank you and leave over any comments, and also want to offer you the opportunity if you want. You know, I don't know how we get us about a board to set up. We got some more callers going to be calling in. If you want, you know, saying another the rebuttal or come back in or the issue that you may have missed. Only the lines open for that. But again. Thank you for calling in. We want to reiterate to everyone, put out to all candidates, this is a countdown, less than 24 hours away. One more question I want to ask you, I pushed with this earlier that, what's unique about what people who are not voting, they vote this election in particular? Close with that.
Yeah, well, listen, this is an extremely important election. For folks who have been disenchanted and disenfranchised with the current system of government, we have a chance. We have a chance to change things in this city. You know, after, you know, 20 years of Mayor Daley and 8 years of Mayor Emanuel and now 4 years of Mayor Lightfoot, you know, when we look at the city that we want to be in, the city that we deserve to be in, the city that we deserve to lead for our young people, this is the election to do it. It's the election to set the course and the path on not just who Chicago is, but who Chicago is going to be. And I always talk about, you know, we know that Chicago used to be called the city that works. But those of us who remember the city that works, remember that even when it did work, it didn't work for everybody. And so if we're going to have a city that works for all of us, this is the election to make your voice heard, to make sure that we can hold people accountable and to actually do the work.
Thank you very much. We're live direct on Freedom All Radio, making history, taking history, taping history, y'all. Election Day Eve, Chicago, Illinois, December 27th. I know y'all here Tuesday. A lot of y'all still color with New Orleans, some of the fat Tuesday. We're talking Tuesday in Chicago, Election Day. Less than 24 hours away, y'all. We got State Representative Cam Buckner. I think we got some more callers coming in queue. Also, you have to press 1-929-477-3785. And oh, if you want to close out, give your website too. You welcome to do that for the audience also.
Absolutely. Well, brother, thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for the space you occupy and for your continued fight for freedom for all of us, man. And it's important. And you know, I want to take that same spirit and bring it to the fifth floor of City Hall. Folks can find more information about our campaign at camformayor.com, camformayor.com. We're on all things social media, Cam Buckner Shy. Tomorrow morning and tomorrow, you know, as folks get ready to go out and vote, just, you know, remember that this is an important election about the future of Chicago. This is not just about the next election cycle. This is about the next generation. And I'm number 3 on your ballot.
Thank you. Right on. Appreciate you calling in with us. Again, y'all, we are Freedom All Radio. We put out an official call. We seeing who is calling. calling in to Freedom All Radio, touching down, because we say the streets are open, our work calls are 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and you know, so we put out official notes to everyone to call in tonight on a special, special edition on the eve of elections for Chicago, look at Chicago, again, our first guest to call in, stay with Cam Buckner, we come in with someone next now, press 1, let me know who we have on deck. Or in Q. I just want to give a shout out to those, to the all the comrades. That was really into the ground. Cassandra Greer, I know y'all familiar with her. Dr. LaShawn, Benjamin Henning. You know, so really, even prior to Election Day, consistently out on the ground. On these issues to help get, you know, helping us really help facilitate this special edition today. We have a call in queue. Another call in queue.
Yes, Arewa.
Are you on? Call on.
I am.
Okay. Welcome to Freedom Radio. Who do we have on now? What is that? Who we have on?
Hello.
Hello. Yeah. Which.
Hello.
Which guest we have on?
Hi, this is Kobe Guillory. I'm with the Chicago Alliance Against Racism and Political Repression. I just wanted
Kobe.
To call in to say, yeah. Yeah, can you hear me?
Okay. We hear you loud and clear. Yeah, I'll just say welcome to Freedom All Radio. Yes, indeed.
Yeah, thank you for having me. And I just wanted to say, you know, it's very important to go out and vote tomorrow if you haven't voted already for a mayor who's going to hold the police accountable, who's going to make sure that the police, who's going to make sure that the voice of the people is reflected in what public safety looks like, as well as, you know, all the persons, but also there's a new office, you know, a lot of people have heard of it, but a lot of people haven't. The local police district councils in every police district. There's going to be three police district councilors, and their job is to make sure that the thoughts and opinions of the people are heard, and that they reach the Community Commission for Public Safety and Accountability, who has control over the police policy, who has input into the police budget. So it's a very important election, and there's people running right now who have already been in the fight. I think Array was actually on this call, who have already been in this fight for years, trying to hold the police accountable, many of them because they have personally been impacted by police violence, and they know how important it is to hold the police accountable. So definitely go out and vote for the local police district council candidates. And we have, you know, there's voter guides out there. You can check on ecpschicago.org. Or empoweredcommunities.com to see who's running in your district and why you should vote for the people in your district. So once again, thank you for having me on, and go out tomorrow and vote.
Right, hold on, Kobe. If you can, give us a couple of minutes. This is not okay. This is not the mayoral candidates. What, again, you say that again. What is this, the Chicago Police Accountability? What is it again, for listeners?
Yeah, it's just the local police district councils. So there's 22 police districts. You're on the ballot. There's going to be several candidates for district council. We have guides to show people, you know, in every district, to show you which district you're in. And who in your district is running with the intention of holding the police accountable, so that you can walk into the ballot box, you know, knowing who to vote for, knowing which names are going to go towards holding the police accountable, are going to go towards making sure that the community has more power over the police rather than the police has power over the community. So once again, if you go to empoweredcommunities.com, that's a very good voter guide. You can also find more information about the ordinance and about who's running on ecpschicago.org.
Cool, okay, bear with me, because as we say, Cub with us. I might be a little paranoid. Where can people look? Okay, with this, if I'm correct, this is a first time this is going to be on the ballot, correct?
Yep, that's correct.
It's the first time for a person of the lay. You know what I'm saying? How would okay? I know, especially in things that we're holding the police accountable any for anything. What in particular? What should we? Okay, I know. Okay, for the mayoral candidates, automatic candidates, and just okay. Is there some way that people can, I mean, to make sure that we do not miss this? Because I'm kind of concerned. It's going to be, like, you know, are we going to make this as easy as possible for people to find? And sometimes people have a block about even holding about the police accountable, even questioning the police. So they might. So I'm just trying to reiterate as much as I can. Like, do you have a visual of how the ballot is going to look like? What do we look? Is it going to say? Is it going to say right there? I think it's Sandra Gridges. Does it say Police Accountability Council candidate? That's what it says right there.
So I just voted today, so I can.
Okay.
It says for member of the Police District Council, and it should say the number. For mayor, for city clerk, for city treasurer, for alder person, and then the last thing you're going to vote for is for member of police district council. And then under that, it'll say...
Member of police district council.
Yep. And then under that, it's going to say...
You said there's a site that people can go to check out, you know, say, okay, and I was honored and fortunate to be on a panel, I believe, with Frank Chapman, and we were talking about, the mayor, you got different candidates for the mayor, for alderman, just those different other offices. Is this similar? Is this like three candidates running for one particular district? Like you said, I think there's 72 districts of Chicago Police, and these are not the, also one another thing we said, I know a lot of questions. A lot of times we have, what is different between this right now, as opposed to OPS, Office of Professional Standards, IPRA, different boards, like when people would come in and supposed to make their complaints against the police. What's unique about this? About this police police accountability council. What differentiates this from that OPS and other things?
So the issue with all the other accountability bodies is that they were not really accountable to the people of the city. You know, there was no democracy in the way that the people who made up those councils and offices were appointed. So they were accountable, and in some cases they are accountable to the people who appointed them, which is usually the mayor or city council. Whereas the local district councils are directly elected by the people of the city. So they, you know, they're accountable to their voters. They're accountable to the people who they're going to have to organize meetings with, and they're going to have to take in their opinions. As it says in the law, in the Empowering Communities for Public Safety Ordinance, they have to take in what the people want and what the people are saying about the police. So there's more of a direct democratic accountability. There's a system of direct democratic accountability that hasn't existed before and that doesn't exist anywhere else in the country. So this is actually a first, not just for Chicago, but for the United States as a whole. And I just want to reiterate, the voting guide is empoweredcommunitiesguide.com. And you can also find more information at...
Someone can type that for me too while we're empoweredcommunities.com?
Yeah. Empoweredcommunitiesguide.com.
Empowered Communities. One more time. Empowered Communities, what else?
Empoweredcommunitiesguide.com.
Empoweredcommunitiesguide.com.
Yep.
You okay? One more. I'll say one more question. Put this out, okay? Again, Cassandra Griffiths reiterates us again. Police Accountability Council candidates Mark Clemens, who many people should be, people should know who these individuals are. Mark Clemens was tortured by the infamous Chicago Police Department. Cassandra Greer, the widow of Nicholas Lee, who under the tenure of former Sheriff Tom Dyer, I guess is wishful thinking, Sheriff during the pandemic, you know, her husband Nicholas Lee at the hands of Sheriff Tom Dyer and others was took out literally. She's Mark Clemens just commented to us about, I guess I'm trying to say, discouraging about relevant to the elections of 2023 for mayor of Chicago, 2022, I guess, yeah, bro. Only 177,000 people. Oh, you're right, my fault. He's okay. Mark Clemens brought to our attention with the early voting, 177,000, only 177,000 people have voted in early voting. So, again, reiterating, get out. I know sometimes the weather been real bad, weather been real quick, but again, the sun came out today, I think, like a heat wave, comparatively speaking, so to tomorrow. And with, one more question, Kobe, I want to ask you about this. I just lost my train of thought. I don't know if you're in a position to, I know we different entities will be objective. Are there any candidates, any these different that people should look for to support, or if you're in a position that you can't actually say? Although are there some that we should, that people should be a heads up as a no go for? You know what I'm saying? The people should say, "Whoa, the history of this individual." So, are there any ones that people should look for with this?
Yeah, absolutely. If you check the Empowered Communities Guide, you can see which candidates are survivors of police violence, which candidates have family members who have survived police violence. Those are the first choice candidates, you know, who have been working through the Chicago Alliance and working through the ECPS coalition. There are candidates to watch out for as well, because they're sponsored by or they're endorsed by the Fraternal Order of Police. And these are candidates, of course, who are going to, if they get an office, which because of the movement that we have, we're pretty confident that they won't. But if they do, which is why we should vote, they're going to make sure that the police are not held accountable. They're going to make sure that the police can kill and brutalize and torture people without being held accountable. So we're trying to make sure that the candidates who you will see in the, on empoweredcommunitiesguide.com, we're trying to make sure that those candidates beat the FOP candidates. And in general, you know, we're trying to make sure that people from the mayor on down who are in favor of holding the police accountable, investing in the community, just making sure that freedom becomes a reality in this city and that democracy is a reality in this city. We're trying to make sure that those candidates win and that the candidates who support the police and who support the status quo lose.
How long do these terms last?
These are 4-year terms.
Excuse me.
These are for 4 years, same as the mayor.
4 years
and the other person. Yep.
Okay. I'm asking. You point out a great point that many of these individuals have been impacted directly by the police, and I will try to be as objective as I can in regard. But I think I'm going to run for office for this next time. I might engage. I think I'm going to run for it next time.
I think you should.
Sadiq, this is the first time this has even been put on a ballot, listeners. So again, look for this, because sometimes you will see stuff, I just want to vote for the mayor, and this look for this in particular. Kwabena Sadiq Jaga, nephew of Geronimo Pratt. Thank you. And also, Brother Gary did a lot of issues. Just put up, he just posted that website for us to go to, empoweredcommunitiesguide.com, with that police accountability, with the names we're going for. And, of course, we have one of my sisters in fighting against crime, Cassandra Greer, with utmost respect for her. She just pointed out, remember these key names, y'all. Again, look for this, because I'm sure you know this. Sometimes you go to see the mayor. Look for these names. Kenya Franklin. That's a District 3. They have listed that. And also, we have Ara Winters for District 15. Be checking her page. Checking her page. Mark Clemens' Facebook page. Be checking out for these updates. Like I say, anybody know what time is voting start in the morning? Do you know?
I believe it starts at 6 or 7 a.m.
Okay. And y'all know in the hood, look for the extra stuff, the doors locked, and you know how to go, you know what I'm saying? So look for the extra, the hindrances to come down with it. But we think it's 6 in the morning, 7 in the morning, tomorrow. We thank you so much. I should have ran. Okay, Mark Clemens said, okay, 6 a.m. 6 in the morning. It's an old song where I see some 6 in the morning, police at my door. Fresh. So we go 6 in the morning, we're going to be at them doors, at them voting polls. 6 in the morning, y'all. 6 in the morning. I've been moving around so fast. And again, this is a relatively, and I kind of, my thing with Chicago electoral politics, I was talking to Cassandra about this. I say, now, I'm very political, but electoral political, but this is again, and if I'm correct, this is only in Chicago, right? This community control, the police board, am I correct? This is just in Chicago?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
It's in Chicago.
All right, y'all, empoweredcommunities.com. All right. Okay. Any other comments you want to make? You feel free to stay around. Once you something else comes up, rebuttals, or issues, or some point comes up, or do you want to comment on any other offices being ran for the automatic the mayoral campaign? I want to limit you to that. Any other comments you want to make about that? Feel free.
Just one more thing. You know, I'm a member of CTU. I'm a teacher. You know, I voted for Brandon Johnson today. And, you know, I just want to say, again, you know, go out and vote for police district councilors who are going to hold the police accountable. You can find them at empoweredcommunitiesguide.com. And definitely go out and vote tomorrow. Make sure that all your friends and your family go out and vote as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Right on. We live on the record for you, my radio. Y'all, you know what I'm saying? Y'all can get up at 6 in the morning. Any more, come on, call us in queue, 929-477-3785. We just talking to police accountability. We just, you know what I'm saying? He just laid out his mayoral choice, Brandon Johnson. Kobe just talked about that. He gave you a website to go to. We got Cassandra Greer and Mark Clemens giving us consistent, continuous updates about this groundbreaking, not office, section in regards to the police. And, you know, like, again, we hear these, the history of Chicago police. I will attempt to lay it as objective as I can, you know. Oh, okay, bring us up, bring on, okay. Call us in queue, press 1. Bring them on.
Bring
them
on, Chairman.
Hello?
Welcome, caller.
Yes.
Call in queue. Yes, welcome to Freedom On Radio. How you doing? Who do we have online with us?
I'm fantastic. And I am a Arewa Karen Winters, and I am running for 15th District Police Council. Yep. So I just want to say two things.
Hey,
Rob,
welcome to Freedom On Radio. Thank you for calling in with us.
Yes.
We just not only if you can't give us a back on not only on who you are, but also to reiterate the significance of this office that you're running for, because again, our last call was just stating that this is new in Chicago. So,
yeah.
Again, give us a little background who you are as well as the significance of this particular office that you're running for.
It is very significant. It's significant for me because I lost my great nephew to police violence in North Lyndale community on the west side, and that was April 11, 2016. And the next day I became activated. You know, I just was ready to go to work, and I was like, because I wasn't going to let them, you know, behave as though it was nothing or it was routine or justified. Nope, you know, it's like, no, we gonna fight this one out because that was some BS. And so I have been involved in so many organizations wrapped around me, from Black Lives Matter to the Chicago Alliance Against Racial and Political Repression, Women's All Points Bulletin, NAACP. I mean, they just, and so I have been primed for this. And so I was, prior to this, I was a part of the first group of organizers that sued the city of Chicago for the consent decree. And this is also historic because it was the first time in the nation that community members were impacted, community members as well, were able to help craft or draft, should I say, the consent decree from community perspective and then have enforcement powers and other things. And so that's what also helped to prepare me for these district council seats. Something that Bobby Frank Chapman says is that, you know, this is really out of the Black Panther Party because they were the first to call for community control of the police. So we are a manifestation right here in the city of Chicago where your father was a masterful organizer, and right here on this west side in the city of Chicago, west and south side, primarily because of what happens to our people. And it's like there's a lot of naysayers. You know, people like, we got this and we got that. It's not working. No, this is still different than those things because of who's involved in this work. And so that's why I'm very excited about it. I had many trepidations around the political aspect of it. You know, I'm not trying to be a politician. I definitely want to serve my people, but I didn't want to do it from an office. But because it's this type of office, it's like I had to. It's like I had no choice. I had to.
Yeah.
With all the knowledge I have, all the wonderful, phenomenal, strong, intelligent Black people that I have met in this city, Black and brown people, all people that I've met in this city doing this work, I feel obligated. You know, I feel obligated. Obligated.
Right on. Give us your name again, sister.
Karen Winters.
Say your name again.
Arewa Karen Winters.
You mentioned that you're, okay, in 2016,
yes.
You lost your nephew.
Yes.
And I'm sure you're familiar with, even prior to the history like Chicago, with these different entities, you know, OPS, Office of Professional Standards, and so on and so forth.
Yes.
Just in case people hear this about this office, what's the procedure? What would make make a concerted effort to not miss this on the ballot tomorrow?
Well, you know, like Kobe said, we're like most of our numbers are in the 70s, and so we're at the bottom. You know, we're at the bottom of the ballot. But what separates us from them, and truth be told, is that we're basically volunteers for one. So this is not about money for us. This is really about change, you know, in our communities, how our communities are policed, who is policing our communities, and then, you know, calling them to task when they do things that they are not supposed to do. You know, we have become accustomed to bad behavior. We become accustomed to them doing things, and we just brush it off like it's nothing, but we can't afford to do that because it's something. It's never nothing. It's always something, and that needs to be brought to their attention, as well as, you know, they're layers. You know, they're layers, but we get to lay a foundation. You know, we get to lay a foundation that other cities could begin to look at, because police violence is not unique to Chicago. This is what happens in the nation and internationally when it comes down to Black and brown people. So this is an opportunity. We have to seize this moment to the fullest you know, everybody has to come in with the right intent. And when they don't, we have to correct that immediately because we have too much work to do. There's too much work to be done. We can't spend 4 years being adversaries and not accomplishing anything because then the city will turn around and say, oh, we tried that with the community and it didn't work. We can't afford that. So we have to get in here, whether we at the table with the FOP or whatever, we have to hold them at bay. We have to put them under a new demonstration because this ain't that. And they not running this. They need to. I don't know how other people feel about that, but I will not let them. And I know some others will not let them run this. This is about the people and for the people. So yeah, please, please. The city hasn't done a good job. Matter of fact, zero job until now. Until recently, they starting to talk about it, but it should have been talked about a long time ago. There should have been public awareness campaigns moving around the city, educating people because too many people still don't know who we are, what it is, and we didn't have the resources or the manpower to do it. You know, if it wasn't for the Chicago Alliance supporting the ECPS candidates, I don't know where a lot of us would be because we poor working class people with families and 2 and 3 jobs, and so they supported us. They educated us about the ordinance. They educated us about, you know, getting the petitions done, canvassing, everything. They gave us volunteers to help us get out and get the word out. So if it wasn't for them, you know, I can't speak for nobody else, but I don't know where I would be, and I'm grateful for them. And also Mark and Cassandra, I work with them. I work with Mark through the Chicago Torture Justice Center. You know, we all about this work, and it's monumental, and that's how we have to look at this. You know, we can't listen to what Malcolm say, you know, can't listen to the news too often because it had you loving the oppressor and hating the oppressed. You know, so we got to do it.
Yes. Right on. Right on. You just as you're speaking, people are tapping in now. Posting your name back up. Raywild Karen Winters, y'all, make sure for those not familiar with her. You know,
number
what I'm saying again, what's the number? Is it the number that's tied to your name? What was it? How does it work?
My number. Yeah. My number is 72. And so the 15th district is on the west side in the Austin community. So my perimeters are from Division to Roosevelt Road, from Austin to Cicero. That's my square.
West side, hands up. Hands up. West, okay, particularly. Hands up, eyes open. This is okay. This is, as you say, this is not just something that's happening in Chicago, but this is something that's happened. How the police deal with us as a people.
Yes.
We just had a panel with the families of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Jacob Blake, Emmett Till. However, this is something unique about this board, that this vote, this election is happening tomorrow. So this is a season time again. Give me your punch number. And she said, again, you got to look for it. It's at the bottom of the ballot, y'all, which doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
So make sure y'all look for this. And also any social media or website, what have you, that people can come to confide, can tap in and follow up where you at.
Yeah. So Raywild Karen Winters, 15th Police District. I'm number 72. My slogan is for a candidate that's true, punch 72. And then you can visit my website, KarenFor15.com.
Y'all got that? Okay, Chantel Bruce, she just put, okay, she punched it in right now again. But I think you should put, okay, you say punch 72 if you can, since if you can't put down, post up there for that, what board this is, because I know we have the Merrill, automatic, so make sure people know what this is in particular. All right, y'all.
Yeah.
That's true. We click. We on the countdown again. It's going at 6 in the morning. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And do you know what time the polls close?
7 p.m.
You know?
6 to 7.
7 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be late all the time, so I'm lie to myself. Say, okay, 5 in the morning, and it closes at 6. So I'm gonna tell myself that. We live in direct, y'all, because I know I'll be late all the time. Well, sister, again, you any closing remarks? You feel yourself? you'll give us, and also what you feel free to stay on with us. If you want something else to come to mind, you want to pop back on, say something else, feel free.
Yeah, I just want to say,
yeah, it's always open for you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate this. I truly do. I feel like I'm having a full circle moment. It's been that way for the past few days. That's why I know this is in the divine order. But I just want to, you know, say to the people, you know, that it's movement time. You know, we got action right now. You know what I'm saying? And we that's how we need to go about this. Like, we got action and it's time to move. And I do believe that, you know, we always look for the big change. You know what I'm saying? When things start happening, we want to see that big change. But sometimes change is subtle. You know, it could be as small as a pinhole, right? But sooner or later, that pinhole starts to get larger and larger. And so that's how I'm looking at this, and I just want people to get to know what it is, okay? It is new, but it's information out there now, especially if you go to the Empowering Communities for Public Safety. So, read up on it, you know, and support it. It's community. You know, we're serving the community. We have to hear from the community. So get behind this. Get behind this.
Hello. Yeah. Give thanks, y'all. We live on the record, Freedom All Radio, making history, taking history,
thank you so much.
And taping history. International Radio, 929-477-7385. Comrade, call in queue. Call in queue.
Freedom, we have a call in queue.
Welcome to Freedom All Radio.
Hey, what's going on?
Caller.
Chairman. Hey, what's going on? This is Brandon Johnson.
Well, hey, same struggle, different round. Who do we have on Freedom All Radio with us now?
Hey, what's going on, Chairman? This is Brandon Johnson. How are you?
I'm keeping my head of goodness in. Welcome, Freedom All Radio. For those who may, I know it's crunch time. I know I can imagine, you know, since you, as we say, moving and grooving. But if you can, and we less than really. Less than 24 hours away from this election, for those who may not know who you are, just, you know, say, this international audience, or those who do know, again, this, you could give us, a background who you are, and I want to go just preface with that, and of course, you know, why this election in particular, because as I said earlier when I opened the show, many of my constituents, we can be dismissive in regards to this whole process by electoral politics and the history of Chicago politics, so on and so forth. There's a different feeling going on right now. It's just, you know, it's cold red, different discussions. We got people from all over, you know, be fortunate and unfortunate to have people who are directly impacted by the system speaking up, you know, taking a stand. But we'll say, so you can. Who are you? Give us a little background on you, and also what's unique about this particular time period.
Hey, thank you for that, and thank you for your work, Chairman, and just the legacy that you continue to just build and bring in, you know, true liberation to our people. So, again, my name is Brandon Johnson.
Thank you.
I am running for mayor of the city of Chicago. Currently, I do hold a position as Cook County Commissioner, which represents the west side of Chicago and the western suburbs. You know, but the job that I'm always referencing, the job that, you know, I will always see as the best position that I've ever had, is teaching in the Chicago public schools. I taught 7th and 8th graders at Jenner Academy in Cabrini Green, USA. I also taught at Westinghouse on the west side of Chicago. West side is where my wife and I, 25 years this June, we're raising our three children. They're 18 and 15. And, you know, it was really my time as a teacher that really helped sharpen my politics in Chicago. You know, I had a certain level of consciousness that I brought into the classroom as a social studies teacher and a leadership teacher. But Cabrini Green captures the essence.
Excuse me, one second. Is there a background swing? Is there background noise? Something banging somewhere on the phone?
Okay. Yeah, I can hear that too.
Is there someone in the background? Okay. Okay, forgive me.
It's all good. Yeah, I was just saying that, you know, Cabrini Green really captures the essence of the city of Chicago, because it's Cabrini Green, you can see, you know, the richest neighborhood in the entire city from our back windows. But as you know, Chairman, out of the front windows, there were bulldozers staring down our people, preparing to destroy their public housing, which they ultimately did. And so we've had this tale of two cities, those that have get more, and those who don't, things continue to get taken away from us. But that's why I'm running to become the next mayor of the city of Chicago, to bring in a better, stronger, safer Chicago, but one Chicago, one story, you know, where no one is too poor to live in one of the richest cities in the world.
I guess this is going to be a universal question. I'm going to put also, what do you, in regard, what would be like a graphic or a big, I mean, of course, we know, I mean, it's not going to be like a 360 degrees change, you know, overnight, but what do you think something that the people can, that identify as opposed to the present administration, the past administrations, and, you know, I know it's like a lot of people say, it's Chicago, when you were talking about the housing situation, police, not just Chicago, all over, but I'll testify how it is, but what are some of the unique characteristics that you see your administration bringing into the office that impact the people of Chicago?
Yeah, for sure. Thank you for that. So when I served when I first got elected as Cook County Commissioner, the first major ordinance that I passed was the Just Housing Amendment. That ordinance had been on county board for 4 years. I passed it in 4 months. And what we did with that one, Chairman, it eliminated discrimination. Those seeking housing who were formerly incarcerated, many of our, you know, family members, our friends, community members who get arrested and locked up, they're penalized for the rest of their lives. You know, from, you know, whether it was a mistake or whether it was an error, you know, by the state. You know, but one of the things that I thought was important was to make sure that we address, you know, those who were formerly incarcerated right away. I also helped get rid of the gang database, which was really a racist tool to target our people. And so the last thing that I'll mention, you know, about my time on the county board, particularly out the gate, you know, I passed the Just Housing Amendment, as I said, we got rid of the gang database, but also passed the Justice for Black Lives resolution, and I moved on the budget for Black Lives. I built an entire budget around the lives of Black people for a reason. And what I wanted to do was to highlight, to your point, the economic disparities that exist within our communities throughout the entire region. And as a result of that resolution, it led to the equity plan that President Preckwinkle put forward, of which $100 million we got to go into violence prevention. We can eliminate up to $1 billion in medical debt. We have the largest guaranteed income program in the entire country, of which 55% of those who receive those dollars are Black women and brown women in particular. You know, so this budget that we built around Black lives was, you know, intentional about bringing to the light, you know, our conditions, but also addressing them. And I'm going to bring that same leadership to the fifth floor. One of the things we're going to do right away is we're going to pass the treatment, not trauma ordinance. That's going to provide first responders to respond to the mental health crises that overwhelmingly clog up our 911 system. We have police officers showing up to domestic disputes and mental health crises. That's a disaster, right? And so by doing that, that frees up law enforcement to actually focus on the more severe violent crimes that are happening in the city of Chicago. We're also going to double the amount of young people we hire. And when we hire them this summer, Chairman, we're going to make them year-round positions.
The phone was going in and out a little bit. You said something. A treatment, what was that again? A treatment and trauma, what was that again? Hello? Hello? Are we still on?
Primo, Chairman, I think we just lost the call. Let me see if he's going to call back in. Primo. Primo, Chairman, the call dropped. Chairman, can you hear me?
talking about the black one?
Yes, pretty much.
Come on, yeah. We lost a caller?
Yeah, our caller just called back and it dropped again. Let me see if he'll call back in.
Okay, if we go, okay, Brandon, okay, Johnson, yeah, if he can call right back in, tell him to forget the call that dropped. Someone, yeah, Brandon Johnson's office, yeah, have him call right back and press 1, yeah, forgive us, on the duck my hand.
Primo,
you back on?
Hey, thank you. Yeah, I don't know where we left off. The key, you know, Chairman, is
I'm glad we got you back. That treatment, okay, they just corrected me, okay. Give us the significance of that treatment, not trauma. That kind of caught my ear. Can you give us a little back when you said that treatment, not trauma?
Yes, I can. So what that ordinance does is the 33rd Ward alderperson, Rosana Rodriguez, is the lead sponsor of this ordinance, and it's an alternative for the 911 calls that are mental health crises. It's an alternative response to law enforcement. So instead of police officers showing up like they did with Quantonio LeGreer when he was having a mental health crisis on the west side of Chicago 5-6 years ago now,
mm-hmm.
and his neighbor
mm-hmm.
Betty came to
Christmas Eve.
So instead of police officers showing up to a mental health crisis, you would have mental health crises professionals showing up to help diffuse and escalate that. Like, we have a long practice in the history in our community where we have always practiced restorative justice. We've always worked hard to help de-escalate and to defuse. I mean, we have that by nature. It's been a form of survival, but it's also a demonstration of love because we recognize that we're all impacted by trauma. And if we're not treating that trauma, we're exacerbating it. And if we're exacerbating it, we're causing more harm. Under my administration, we're going to pass that ordinance, and we're going to place first responders to these mental health crises right in the mix of our communities, so that we are doing everything in our power as a government, doing everything in our power to make sure that we're not causing harm. And we're not putting police officers in a position where they're being asked to do something that's not their job. Police officers are not social workers. They're not, just like teachers are not social workers or therapists. It doesn't mean that we can't be, you know, empathetic and sympathetic. And what we've seen, though, unfortunately, is that when we put people in position to do things that are out of position, it causes harm. And under my administration, I'm going to work hard to make sure that we're not exacerbating the harm that has been the prevailing form of politics for generations now.
Right on. What do you credit? Okay, there's like different people that's on the ground in Chicago have worried about with your campaign. Some of the ways of tapping into some of the unconventional arenas, like the Benjamin Hennings. I've seen him. So he talks about the house parties and even these listed, like even in different areas. I know, I'm sure the north side, east, other place, but west side, Crystal Gardner brought up to us about the events there, and Cassandra Greer with the listening sessions on the east side and other throughout the city. What are the characteristics of this? I've heard it's been brought to my attention. I was like, it's some conversations that people that who usually wouldn't talk about certain things. I mean, I know, like, even some brother Adolf, who talked about the issues he would, you know, the juvenile detention center, some other things that's in these listening sessions. What do you attribute to? What is the the purpose of these unique ways of they're taps into some people open up about certain discussions, and how do you see that? Would that be something that would continue on with your administration?
Yeah, but that's that's the point of it. Like, you know, that we have had, I mean, dozens, I mean, well over 70, probably closer to 80 house parties all over the city of Chicago, because we have to organize the city. And I'm running a campaign the way I'm going to run government. We're going to run it together, for the chairman. I mean, anybody that believes they can do this by themselves, they're a dangerous person. You don't believe them. They're lying, right? I mean, there are some very complex problems that exist in Chicago, and some of them are universal, to your point. But then some of them are unique to various zip codes and communities, right? So you got to go and listen to people, man. That's where government has failed. Look, I've served as an organizer. I work as an organizer. I'm going to continue to utilize those organizing skills because this city has been used to, and it's been accustomed to a more stratified structure where people hang out in their pockets and their silos. And when people are afraid, they buckle down on those. Instead of opening up and recognizing that in order for us to be better, we all have to be better. And that means being vulnerable. And in many instances, people are not given the platform and the space to be able to talk and speak truth. And having that capacity, you know, when we have to take on the power structure, because just because I'm mayor of the city of Chicago doesn't mean that capital is just going to lay down. So we're going to need the same people who organize house parties. We're going to have the organized votes from that city council so that I'll have the votes that I need in order to move the type of agenda that's going to bring liberation to all of our people. And so to your point, it's not unique because, you know, organizing, like that's our legacy, brother, right? That's our legacy. So we should not run away from that. In fact, we should embrace it and be far more inclusive. You know, I believe in co-governance, man. I come from a large family, so I'm accustomed, you know, to sharing power and working together. Look, I know the decision ultimately comes down, you know, to me. And I get to be informed by the best and brightest. I trust and I love the people of Chicago. And I believe that people want a better, stronger, safer one. And so we all have to take some responsibility in that. And I don't mean to get overly personal. I do have a wife and children still that I'm ultimately accountable to. And what I want for my family, I want for every single family in the city of Chicago. And I need to be able to go home at night and go to bed and be rested. I need to be available for my family. And the way I'm available for my family, taking care of myself, is to make sure that we're utilizing the expertise that we all bring to this city. We have experts around environmental justice and climate justice. We have experts in housing justice, education justice, economic development. And we have a lot of experts that we have to tap into and utilize the best and the brightest minds that God has graced this earth with. That's how my administration is going to operate. And I've enjoyed it, brother, all over the city. You've traveled the world, so you know what I'm talking about. You know, there's a universal language,
yeah,
man,
yeah.
If you speak it. This is a universal language if we speak it, if we're willing to humble ourselves. And so being able to run one of the largest economies in the world, you're going to need people who can help run alongside of you so that when my time comes to an end, that we're not starting over, that someone else can pick it up and move it from there. You know what I'm saying? That's why I'm committed to this form of campaigning, because we take the conversation directly to the neighborhood. And then we bring the neighborhoods to the fifth floor.
Yes, indeed. We live on the Rick on our radio, intellectual radio. We have an international listening audience, and we're on the eve of Election Day in Chicago, Illinois. And Chicago has, because electoral politics, Frank Sinatra talked about it, the history of it, you know, what goes down with it. And we're talking about the uniqueness of this. We have the candidates here. And I want to address the elephant in the room. One of the elephants in the room is when it comes to Chicago politics that many people no one should be dismissed, especially in this stage of the game. The city of Chicago, which for all practical purposes, you know, it was and for all, it pretty much remains one of the top segregated cities in the country. And I want, and it's something I know that I pointed this out when I talk about even, you know, the cloth I'm cut from, Chairman Fred, who authored the Rainbow Coalition, how he dealt with the race and the class contradiction in particular in Chicago. And you look at the fast forward through the history, like electoral politics, with the infamous Daley machine. You look at, you know, the old footage, you know what I'm saying, when the Democratic Convention, you know what I'm saying, the mandate, you know what I'm saying, from Mayor Daley, Mayor Daley Sr., you know what I'm saying, how to deal with the uprising in Chicago, to, you know, the Jane Byrne, Harold Washington. You go back and pull, if you can't pull, go on YouTube, some of the campaigns of Harold Washington running against Empton. And not just look at the candidates, look at the people, and it can get real ugly with the race question here, you know. And you, Harold Washington, even after that, and there may be certain things may become dormant, certain, but the reality is this is something that's intrinsic, and it's in Chicago in particular. And with that being said, it's something I want to make sure I put all of you know what I'm saying. I know, and they're talking about, it's already discussion now about, you know, yourself, you're running up, you know, as opposed to Paul Vallis, and that's something that, you know, so be ahead of in regards to this race question. How, because the deal, reality is, this impacts how the funding of allocation of TIF, tax increment funds, for housing, you know, how crime is dealt with, you know, I mean, everything. You know, how would that be? How do you, in a city that, you know, saying again, that this impacts, I would even say, even impacts the way the water, you know what I'm saying? The race contradiction. I mean, this, how, you know, during your administration, how do you foresee even grappling, dealing with that, you know, some of those contradictions?
Yeah, no, that's right, right? Because as mayor of the city of Chicago, I'm running it all. And so thank you for, like, highlighting,
yeah,
you know, those contradictions. And, you know, look, I believe what's necessary. Here's what I know what's necessary. You got to take it dead or straight on, man. You can't tippy-toe around it. And so that's why when I talk about my public safety plan and I lay out my public safety plan as well as my education plan, a lot of these systems have been systems that have been used to continue to oppress people. You know, whether that's in standardized testing or whether that's in, you know, the addiction that this city has on jails and incarceration, right? And so we know the history of testing, but standardized testing, it was used as the eugenic study to so-called, you know, they wanted to prove that blacks were inferior, right? That's all those tests do. They reinforce, you know, this inferiority dynamic that they want to continue to spread as a narrative on our people. And so it's challenging our public school system, right, to be more community-driven in terms of how we deliver services, making sure that we have mobile trauma units that can be dispatched throughout the city of Chicago to provide care. You know, it's about having a well-rounded curriculum where we are, you know, exposing the students of the city of Chicago to the globe. That's languages, arts, and culture, right, sports and recreation, music, giving our children the full gamut of what the world has to offer, the trades, manufacturing jobs, opportunities, and these type of trainings that can continue all the way up through community college, which should be free. And under my administration, that's what we build towards. That also means child care for all, right? But it also means that, you know, with law enforcement and policing, you know, that we have to take a look at that budget. You know, I looked at the budget, Chairman, and, you know, they have three or four graphic designers, you know, that the police budget is appropriating. You know, what do graphic designers have to do with public safety? You know what I'm saying? We have this consent decree that has not been administered. And so we're going to have to invest and make sure that the consent decree, which ultimately leads towards a better, stronger, safer Chicago, that we are implementing that. And then to your point, we have individuals who have violated our community. And as much as, you know, we believe in mercy and second chances, you know, our people have been victimized, right? I talked to a mother today, you know, who is a victim. And so we have victims and survivors of that trauma and crime that we have to make sure that we're bringing justice, right? Because people want closure. You know, they've lost family members, lost loved ones. And that's a lot of pain. Talk to mothers who've lost children. You know, these children go to school after a mass shooting takes place in their neighborhood. No support services. And so, yes, these contradictions exist. you know, and it's incumbent upon all of us to continue to organize, to call out these systems who have perpetuated violence against people and against humanity. And that's why I'm committed to making sure that those who were tortured, you know, by this government, that we give them full reparations. And I made a commitment to that. And it wasn't just John Birch. I mean, he was a notorious one, but there were others. And so we have to repair the damage that this government, that the harm of this government caused. That's how we deal with these contradictions. You got to admit, you know, like, Cameron, I have asthma. Now, if you didn't know that and you were in the room with me and I was having a tough time breathing, you wouldn't know how to treat me. You know, get the brother some water, give him some air. Now that you know I have asthma, you ask, does he have his inhaler? You know what I'm saying? You know how to treat it. Right? And so when you name it, you can treat it. And so our administration is not going to be afraid to name it, because it's well past time, brother, you know, that we really have systems of care. Systems of care, you know, have to be the prevailing form of how we engage. And, of course, I'm inspired by the legacy of the West Side of Chicago. You know, when before there was anyone talking about health care for all or, you know, or free lunch. I mean, we know the root and the history and the roots that run deep in our community that have made this country better as a result of us just looking to have systems of care. And because of systems of care, like the Black Panther Party, every child in the country gets to eat. Everybody's talking about health care, Medicare for all. You know, that comes out of this public education at the expense of the state is a Negro idea. Those are the words of W.E.B. Du Bois, right? And so when we think about public education, public transportation, public housing, good-paying jobs and health care, those are the demands that the formerly enslaved had when the so-called emancipation was granted. Now you throw in there environmental justice, climate justice, access to food, so that we can deal with the apartheid structure within food access in this city with all the vacancies. We have such an opportunity to revitalize our communities, put people to work, put people on the pathway to home ownership, give them good-paying jobs so they imbibe the entrepreneur spirit, invest in them, because they're going to invest right back in our community. There's an opportunity to revive the city, and that's why I'm looking forward to becoming the mayor of the city of Chicago.
Yes, indeed. Live in the record again, y'all tap in. Tune in. This is a special edition. You know what I'm saying? This is, again, less than I want to say 12. We're on a countdown. 6 in the morning, those polls open. Websites, any other comments that I may have missed, or you want to point out that we may have missed? And again, websites, information, was it the number? Definitely, I know lots of those numbers are sticking. I mean, the number that people should connect to your name.
Definitely, you can go to my website, go to my Twitter handle, TikTok, we're everywhere, Facebook, brandonforchicago.com, and then I want you to get out and vote and punch 5. Brandon for Chicago, and I want you to make sure we're voting for the district council members as well. I know our sister on the west side was just on, Arewa, and, you know, there are other people like her who are running to provide the type of oversight over law enforcement that we need directly from our community. And Sister Winters is a dynamic sister, and I support her wholeheartedly, and she represents, you know, the beauty and the love that the city possesses, that the beauty and the love that
she represents the world. We just had her on, and again, that's a new office in Chicago, you know what I'm saying? So people here doing their heads up for that tomorrow. So this is historical in so many ways. Are you kind of breaking up again? Brother, can you can't say it one more time for us that what's your number and also the website again?
Punch 5, brandonforchicago.com. Punch 5, brandonforchicago.com. I love you, brother. I appreciate the time and the work that you've been doing and the legacy that you continue to carry out. It means a lot to our people, and it means a lot to the entire world. So Punch 5, let's make history tomorrow. You know, let's make sure that we communicate with all of our people to get out and vote. We can make it. The polls are already saying that I've come out of nowhere. I announced in Cabrini Green back in October. No one thought we had a chance. And now our movement is on the front pages of papers across this country. So we get to make history tomorrow. You can elect a teacher, a husband, a father, someone who loves people, someone who's raising their family on the west side of Chicago, someone who loves the entire city, who's bringing the city together. So thank you again. Love you, brother. Give your best, of course, to the family. And, again, I want people to get out and vote tomorrow, 6 a.m. Polls open up. They close at 7. So that's 5 a.m. for you, Chairman. 6 p.m. for you.
No doubt, and, no doubt.
Punch
yes.
Love
those
you.
Those who know me don't give me the HR. Yes, indeed.
All right, we'll see you on the front line.
We appreciate you coming in because, again, we don't take this lightly. I know y'all, as we say, moving and grooving. It's on the crunch time for those who are calling in on these intense hours right now. Again, everyone, you know what I'm saying, again, for everyone else, six in the morning, I'm telling my, as you just heard, brother said, for me, 5 a.m. in the morning, and that's happening. The weather is, I think, well, it's been some rough last few days, rough, but it's going to be relatively all right tomorrow. So y'all look for the voter polls where they at.
That's right. No excuses. Yeah, there are polling places everywhere. You all find out, you know, where your precinct is. You'll see it get up in the morning. It's not too far from most people's homes. So, again, my number is 5 on the ballot, punch 5, Brandon for Chicago. I love you all. I'm headed to my next stop, and we'll see us on the victory party, man. I'll send you that information. Come out and celebrate on the west side when we make history tomorrow. I'll send you that the address.
Love, respect, and appreciation, y'all. We live and direct on Free MR Radio, making history, taking history, and taking history, y'all. For the international audience that's listening in, y'all, y'all make sure y'all tap, y'all see again. We are giving it to you out on the ground. What's happening? I'm gonna be hopping back and forth on live, coming up to it. As y'all just heard, you know, so those that don't know, say, okay, Terry, you come in at five in the morning. And again, this is a hell of a period of time because, like I said, this because heavy hitters tapping in with you too. That's indeed. See, heavy hitters, the Cassandra Greer. Cassandra Greer, make sure y'all hear me on this. Cassandra Greer, again, I said this earlier, let me reiterate this. If people need a ride, they have rides available. Cassandra Greer, they hit the page, what these happen? Mark Clemens, 172. Plus 72 for winners. The CDS is on with us, no doubt. That's down. That's for the, if I'm saying it correctly, the police, one more time, y'all. I'm going to say this correctly. The accountability. Inbox, okay. Can you take that one more time for me, Mark Cummins, we got one read some of these comments. We got point 72 for winners. You got it right there already. Police accountability and Brandon Johns for mayor. He says punch five. Okay, police accountability. Make sure y'all distinguish that. That's at the bottom of the ballot. Inbox Cassandra Greer. She's on Facebook. Inbox Cassandra Greer. She said, man, I don't feel like going this early morning, you know, ride there, so on and so forth. Inbox her. They were on transportation. Who else we got calling? This is a special edition. We are saying, we want to thank all our callers who are calling in, all the people who are tapping in, all the energy, y'all. If you feel any of our past calls were calling with rebuttals, something you missed, you said, oh, I forgot to say this. And again, this energy, this is an informed audience. Again, I really appreciate everyone who called in. We had different candidates, you know, some different offices. However, it was so respectful. It's really insulting a lot of times the way the electoral political game is pushed out to our community in particular. But you've seen some hardcore information being laid out for us. You know, so this is how years back we had some issues with the thing vote or die. Because, I mean, they had these people, puffy calls that come out. They didn't say nothing to us, you know what I'm saying? And it was just saying, vote or die, play some music. So, no, the stakes are too high. We are do more. You've seen the type of dialogue and discussion we had today. And we put the call out to everyone. So you see, well, my candidate didn't call in. And so I respect you. Like, a lot of times people feel like, well, you know, man, you have to contact the people down there. You know, like sometimes a lot of people feel they just come to the Blood Biblical Parade, throw a T-shirt on, ride past us, and that's it. This is the respect to reach out to us. You know what I'm saying? And again, respect is reciprocal. You know what I'm saying? Again, that should be in a relationship. your family, your community, your dining service, a business, the gas station. It should be some respect, the dialogue with you to come in and she's in the electoral office. To not just, oh, I'm going to vote for me to draw the full conclusion. We had some good questions and laid out, and you know what I'm saying? I know people are still going to be on the ground, but again, we less than 12 hours. It's on the countdown. Any more calls in queue?
Fremont, Chairman, we have another call in queue. Caller in queue.
Welcome to Fremont Radio.
Hey, how you doing, Chairman? This is Rabbi. How you doing?
Rabbi, I'm well. How are you doing?
Oh, man, you know what it is, man. On the front lines doing what we do. You know,
I want to speak. I want you to get a word, you know, so that we keep our ear to the ground. And I know there's an event in regards to you. Let me open up for you. Give us the background. Who are you? You know, saying for those who might not know your history, who you are, who are you, and what's happening, and what happened? Because there's a lot of buzz hot over that way through the community. Make sure you get your page too, your Facebook page. But again, welcome to Fremont Radio, and let us know what's happening, and also, you know, where you at with this upcoming election. But what happened? Who's offering? Well, I'm gonna step back. Go ahead, my brother.
Amen. Well, for your viewers, my name is Rabbi Michael Ben Yosef. I'm a human rights activist, anti-vice activist here in Chicago. My organization is Chicago Activist Coalition for Justice, headquartered here in Chicago. We do civil works around issues with regards to gun violence, police-involved shootings. We do work on voters' rights. We do work on immigration, work on unsolved murders of black women and missing persons in Chicago and other different areas on these issues. First and foremost, I just appreciate the program you had of having diverse candidates that are running for office. I did have the pleasure of meeting a lot of them during this time of the election cycle. I can tell you that this is probably one of the most profound, talented group of candidates that are coming forth before all the constituents in Chicago. And I'm just excited to see what will be the results of this election. But I also want to say this is a consequential election because of certain things that I discovered during this election cycle. Because a lot of times what I do is I do research. I just don't like to go to polls and cast my ballot without doing my due diligence of checking candidates out. So I decided to check out Paul Vallis. And I found some very disturbing feedbacks about his viewpoints on with regards to the issues that has been hurting black and brown people around the country, particularly when it comes to the critical race theory. Mr. Vallis has views that I would believe has been suppressed from the public, and I've been just doing a lot of research on him, and he did a podcast with I do believe had to be in a Republican type of audience, and the conversation went along with asking his viewpoint of critical race theory, being the former CEO of the Chicago Chicago Public Schools in Chicago. And one of the things he did say, which is very striking, he made an analysis about if a child, a white child, goes to school and has a curriculum that reveals in the curriculum from a teacher that the teacher would talk about black suffering and black discrimination and black oppression, that this child would go home, literally to go home to his parents and say, well, I just learned today that my ancestors was responsible for discriminating against someone that does not look like me. Is that true? Then Mr. Vallis would go on to say, well, We don't want to have that conversation from this child. This child shouldn't have to go home and feel some sense of sadness or feeling regret for what has happened in the past. That was alarming. Then he goes on to say that the teachers should not deviate from core curriculum, but the state, but they refuse to have anything to do with anything issues that's divisive, that's confrontational, and will cause not accountability upon what the teacher is required to do. Those are the type of talking points that are from the MAGA movement that we have witnessed from the last administration in the president of the United States, number 45. As we have seen, the movement of the MAGA movement is still alive and well, and that's one of the talking points that Mr. Vallis was using in his comments towards the podcast moderator. Not only that, he is also endorsed by the FOP president, John Catanzaro, who is a known racist in Chicago and is now still his tenure as the president of the FOP in Chicago, expediting and continuously putting forth those talking points that MAGA is already been spewing out in the community. So long story short for your viewers, I went yesterday, Paul Vallis had a campaign event up north, and I decided to take my bullhorn, to take my sign, to take my passion for the people and to be boots on the ground and go out there and stand out there and be unapologetically as a peaceful protester. And when I got there, there was a whole line of media stand outside of the venue. And when I began to unpack my things, everyone stopped packing their things up and going inside the venue. So I said, well, I need to get busy because I see what's going on. I can read between the lines. So I got my bullhorn, got my Facebook Live going, and just basically started speaking out publicly about how this candidate should not be nowhere near the fifth floor in the city hall, expediting and putting policy in place that will impact further of the division and hurt more of black and brown in Chicago. So then getting to the maybe 15 minutes in my action in peaceful protest, by the way, one of the people who stand out there asked me, well, Rabbi, can you provide some evidence? I said, sure, I can give you the link and then play it. So I got my bullhorn, got my phone, and went to the actual link that has it online right now. Everyone can go get it. I'm going to send it to you. And they can listen to this man talk about his viewpoint that's so damaging that this person should not have nowhere near of having anything to do with being in some sort of a high-ranked position, such as the city of Chicago mayor. So I began to put it forth, my bullhorn and my camera, my phone with the link, and you hear his voice talking. And not only in 5 seconds, then the door opened up, slammed open, here comes Paul Vallis goon, and basically stood before me and just kind of said, you need to leave here. I said, well, I'm not going anywhere. Don't touch me. So then the guy just looked at the other guy, and I never forget the look that he gave him. It's hard to kind of see it on the camera, but I looked at the guy. It was a big black guy standing in the door, and he gave the guy that was standing in front of me a hint. And the guy that looked at me looked at him, and then the guy just stood, paused, and then went forth, grabbed my bullhorn, basically almost knocked me down, and destroyed my bullhorn right in front of everybody. And my camera was rolling on Facebook Live. It's on Facebook Live. You can see it clear as day what has happened. I really don't have to say a word. The video footage speaks the volumes of what it is. When the rich and the powerful and the privileged wants to capture a position is always the primary point they want to do is suppress information, suppress the knowledge, suppress us being woke. When we have people who seek these positions, that we just vote for anyone that we think is going to do right for us, but actuality, they're only serving the rich, the powerful, and the influenced and the connected. The video footage clearly shows what has happened. So I just basically, I did call the police, and the police saw the video. I couldn't believe it. You know, I was still in shock, and then the police showed up.
Mm-hmm.
The police rewound my live, and saw the actual frame by frame of seeing what had happened to me, basically being assaulted on live. And they did it. They wrote up a police report for me, and so I got to go up to the station and get all the documentation because we want to do further pursuing. Now, here's the thing: when it comes to that, that person wasn't arrested. Had that been a black man, that black man would have been arrested right there on the ground in handcuffs right now. But because of privilege and because of those who have the money. And then not only that, the police showed up so late, so the guy had a chance to get away anyway. Had it been a black man, that man would have been in handcuffs, been rights would have been read. We all know the story of how it would have happened. They came a half an hour, 45 minutes late. I wasn't able to fill it out, but the guy was long gone from the thing. So now, right now, we're mobilizing. To let your viewers know, we're not just going to allow this to be put under the rug and just allow this to just blow over. That's what they're wishing, this to blow over. Our job as leaders and as you, chairman, our job is to put the fire to the pedal and not be complacent or to be just to give an inch, because these people are serious about taking everything from us, or what little we have left. So we are going to pursue and organize and do whatever we can do to see this come to an immediate close. And then, again, if this guy does win this position, we are immediately going to, the next day after, call for his impeachment, because we believe that this is a miscarriage of injustice, that he should be disqualified. He does not represent the fabric of black and brown based off with those racist viewpoints that he said. I mean, he says these things, and if he's the top CEO of Chicago Public Schools, how much more damage could he be detrimental to black and brown being the mayor of Chicago, having all that power to do whatever he wants to do to bring his racist ideology to a position that hurts even further what we already in the bottom of having those policies come forth from a racist, and that would be up to myself.
Now, the Record Freedom Hour Radio, Rabbi, you mentioned, I just want to, as you're also just tuning in with us, okay, this assault that you were subjected to yesterday at the, I don't know if he's in the office or Paul Vallis. And people heard you. You say you had your bull on your podium. This is so. I don't want you to get it wrong. But this is something. So I mean, this is. Whether you be in front of Logan Prison, or myself, you, Sandra Greer, Dr. LaShawn, and others to address the issues that the women's and Logan's prisons were subjected to. And the podium, the bullhorn, and this footage of this, you know what I'm saying? You've been in front of prisons, you know what I'm saying? I mean, with state troopers around, you know, I haven't seen assaulted like this, you know. And this, again, I want you to get your Facebook page, people can see this again. But also, let me add this, you know, put this in context, too. This is not Paul Vallis' first rodeo, you know. This is his history with the infamous Daily Machine. Again, we're talking about, we have the different cases called in, but I don't know if this is the issue with the infamous Renaissance 2010 program with the schools, and also Paul Vallis with the I don't have enough time for this show to talk about the contradiction that he just said with that. But veterans, it was so the educational system in Philadelphia. He had transferred to New Orleans. And in fact, I ran into him myself in New Orleans. We were doing a chapter down in New Orleans. We had some issues with the prison schools in New Orleans challenging these contradictions. And later, he was ready to move to Haiti. And they moved people were like chess pieces. You say, wow, he's back in Chicago now. And this is the discussion about him running for mayor in Chicago now. And you say, whoa, it's kind of like you look at certain hot spots in this. You say, well, they move certain individuals around to the spot kind of hot, you know what I'm saying? And they be exposed in a certain city, and they moved around, literally. You know what I'm saying? I recall all this in New Orleans and Philly. People were calling, like, man, what's going on? You know this dude? I said, yeah. This is something about the even speaking to the importance of internationalism. Because, like I said, the system in place of subjectivity, like, okay, they have a person from the south side to the west side. As long as, again, battles was moved to Philadelphia, to New Orleans, to Haiti, yeah. And, you know, it's also popped back up now, and then with this arrogance. So I want people to go to the last page, you know what I'm saying? And you can see where it's bred from, you know what I'm saying? I mean, all the, again, so I've been. Some people heard you said the boy, they might think this is something new, but this situation with no, and the prisons, you know what I'm saying, and in contrast, what happened to you yesterday, and this footage is on your page, your Facebook page also. And also, please.
Yeah, my Facebook page. It's R-A-V Michael, M-I-C-H-A-E-L, Ben, B-E-N, Y-O-S-E-F. And I want your viewers to know this was not just a friendly kind of application with these people. This was an assault. And we have to call it what it is. I was there peacefully protesting under this disgusting constitution that says I have the right to freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, and freedom to protest. And I was assaulted by this person who was still at large. Had it been like, as they said a couple years ago when black folks were downtown Chicago looting, stuff like that, they would immediately put their picture on the television. You saw it. They put their picture on the television immediately. A household is not so this person that assaulted me pictures not on front news. And not only that, why is the news not even expediting this type of attack that was done? This could have been anybody. So we're calling for accountability, not just having these people just get away with murder. They deserve to be held accountable, and it's just where it's supposed to be. A crime was committed. Assault was done. I was minding my own business, exercising my freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, and if you didn't like what I said, that's where this is. According to this Constitution, I can do whatever I like as long as I'm not infringing no one else's rights. And my rights was violated severely in that video. You can go to my Facebook page, R-A-V, Michael, M-I-C-H-A-E-L, B-E-N-Y-O-S-E-F, or you can go to my organizational page. The link of the video is there, Chicago Activist Coalition for Justice.
Even in the video, again, the body language of the aggression, you know what I'm saying, like hey, the Gestapo tactics, you know what I'm saying, I mean, this individual's mission was the uniform, you know what I'm saying, I mean, you could see the highest body language. And once you start, I mean, like even when you're dealing with Paul Valance, or even the case, the revealing of the recent, what state was it, with his son, the case of his son was a police, it was in Texas, Texas, you know what I'm saying, go check that with Paul Valance's son, you know what I'm saying, this is the modus operandi, and also, in addition to that, I mean, you go back and look, like the funding, who's backing them. Let us not forget the case of Laquan McDonald, you know what I'm saying? And the police that was involved in that case, that connection to Paul Valance. So this is, let us struggle to use these different contradictions, you know, as educational opportunities too, you know, say, again, to connect the dots. You know, say, because a lot of times we look at situations subjectively, like, oh, this person is tied us in with his position about the critical race theory, the position of the police on, and, you know, and look at the arrogance. Again, we go to our Facebook page, and, you know, you can look at certain situations and say, okay, this person was trained, or somebody made you feel cocky or comfortable enough to do this move, you know what I'm saying, to move with this arrogance like this here. Yeah. Where does it come from? Let's say, again, this is this individual's first rodeo, you know what I'm saying, and go back to check his background, in Chicago in particular, as well as you can call your loved ones in Philadelphia, New Orleans, because you might say, well, Maybe it was just a bad. Maybe the weather was so bad in Chicago. You know, say they even had a bad few months. Call down New Orleans, check about the prison schools. And if you, I hate you. So I mean, this is internationalism. You know what I'm saying? And so you had to. What's the dynamic with Chicago? What's at stake here? Why these individuals? Because you look at these individuals, I think, well, man, they got no resources. Fine, why just go off and live? Why are they bringing these certain individuals to be put in place in certain offices? So again. An informed audience, and it's heightened contradictions to up the ante where persons can't come up there, you know what I'm saying, and shake a few black hands or grab a hot sauce ball out their pocket or purse, whatever the case may be, or, you know what I'm saying, or just come back, you know what I'm saying, and just talk to some different entertainers and say, no, it stays too loud. You know, we talking about some, because everything is political. Similar, yep, to like you looking, I was exposed with a disproportionate allocating of funds with refugees from Yugoslavia as opposed to those from Rwanda. They said, it's a disproportionate funds. They said, wait a minute, the money, the resources that they give one person, you know what I'm saying, in Yugoslavia for food or whatever, they say, man, that was allocated to, I mean, thousands. You had to break, like, literally, it was like cases of one orange. Had to be divided with those Africa from hundreds of them, you know. And you go back and look at the park districts, you know. So you say, why do you go to some park? Sometimes I'll be placed in Chicago. Sometimes I'll be like, well, man, maybe I'm tripping. It really is not that bad. You go in some places. You go to these parks in Chicago or north in other places. It's Disneyland, something, I missed something, and you go back and look on Knife and Heritage, or Knife and Wood, which that's somebody, I'm on Lopez, 15 more. Definitely, man, no go on this one. Gloria Williams, she called in 2 weeks ago, so you know what I'm saying? So I she listening, because you can call in real quick, give your position, but then go look at the consistent. The Ray Lopez, and he was talking about running for man, so I'm going to move him out. I guess he kept messing with people in the 15th Ward for a little bit long, whatever case study is, though. But go back and do a little, I mean, and don't limit it just to the webs, you can do Google, Wikipedia, but put your ear to the ground to the community. Like you do in the streets. You walk up, you say, who is that? They're selling cars on 33rd in Weston. Yeah, is it reputable? What's their background? When these people are put in front of us, do that community grapevine. Man, Paul Valens, you heard him? Yeah. What was he doing in the school system? Who is this? Google it. Like, you do these rappers and stuff. Yeah. Like, man, that's such and such. Yeah, where you from? A little research.
Yep, facts.
Rabbi, give us your Facebook again, yeah, and where your video can be found at.
Yeah, you can find my on my personal Facebook page, RAV Michael MICHAEL Ben BENYOSEF. You can find it, the link there. And here's, I just got to say one more last thing. What happened to me is a snapshot of what we're up against if this guy gets up in there. Because if these guys felt emboldened, it wasn't like, oh, timid. It wasn't like, well, I'm going to think about it. It was pure aggression. And if this guy is over the FOP and over the police department, we're going to see more of Laquan McDonald. We're going to see more Breonna Taylor. We're going to see more George Floyd in Chicago if this guy gets up in there. So we just need to show up tomorrow we need to show up tomorrow in droves and do what we need to do as people of color, because this is a racist that's seeking to come in our community and portray his ideology, his racist viewpoint in our community, and we're going to be the ones end up with all of that type of aftermath of not having anything but the less that we do have. And it's just the facts of the matter. You see, we just got to show up and show out tomorrow.
Can't make it more plain than that, y'all. Go look at Rabbi's page. As he said, look at the arrogance that this century, that this, that he moved in. This is, so imagine it, him being a okay, I know I lost my sound on y'all Instagram. Y'all been well with it. Okay, man, one more time with that Facebook contact. I know we on countdown. Where's we going to be coming back in again? Y'all, Cassandra Grigg, inbox her to get transported. I'll take stay on Mark Cummings' page. I'm going to be going live here and there. We had a phenomenal show. I'm going to thank International Radio for letting us come in on this special day. Rabbi, man, again, man, keep your head up, man. Keep us posted. Listeners, viewers, people in general, rivers of love, respect y'all. Again, everything's political. You know what I'm saying? This is electoral politics, but again, it's some hot topics, as we just seen, the stuff that the topics that we have discussed thus far, and there are more. Keep in tune. So for y'all, 6 in the morning. For me, I'm saying 5 in the morning. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Who we got here? Okay. Cedric Reverend Michael Bill, so please watch and share. Well, right on. Cedric, she reiterated, y'all, go to his page. Look at the video himself. Again, check his page out. Check the video out. Again, watch the what Benny Siegel saying this song, 85% of communication is nonverbal. Look at the man. Look at the arrogance, the body language on his brother. Okay, I don't have any more callers in queue, but we got to close on out, y'all. Y'all, I'm gonna be going live here at 6 in the morning. You know what I'm saying? If I can't get there, I ain't got no way to get the bus tripping. And Box Cassandra Greer, y'all. Keep your hands up, eyes on the fist clench, y'all. What's the call? Free them all. Phenomenal show. Y'all, again, roll call real quick. Can you fact, she said something, too. I missed it. Who's running for that police accountability? It's a quote. She pointed out the contradiction with Anna Slovenia. The runners running against her. Ain't no police brutality less known. It's not even from the area. And she pointed out the contradiction that the FOP are raising up. You know, again, so these are not officers that's a clear slate. They are going past it, so be heads up on that. So, A-Rock, and Franklin, right on. Okay, y'all, we're going to close out. Be heads up as we finish another powerful episode of Free My Radio, International Radio. We on deck Wednesday, y'all. Might do a special episode, might touch in tomorrow, but Wednesday is 6 p.m. Central Time. Since y'all gonna take us on now, though. Okay, man, free them all. Okay. Ooh, I'm trying to stay alive. Well, that's right on.
bottom hand.
Suicide, too many bills, hippies moving to the hills. People all over the world are shouting in the war.
And the band played on.
Let me hear, let me hear.